WUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News brief. Nasty confrontation at a farm outside L.A. as ICE agents went in. CBS's Carter Evans.
There was some gas canisters thrown. It looked like it was tear gas. And there were also rocks thrown at the federal agents' vehicles as well.
Officials report finding 10 undocumented juveniles. A second farm was also raided. President Trump on his way to view flood damage in central Texas.
We're going to be there with some of the great families and others, the governor, everybody.
A triple-digit heat wave is baking the Southwest. In Phoenix, temps have topped 100 on all but 4 days over the past 5 weeks. Phil Butler has his eye on his hard-working air conditioning crew.
We provide umbrellas and stuff for them to keep them in the shade. Of course, I'm out here, make sure everybody's okay. If I see any signs of dehydration, we sit them down.
Two-time defending champ Carlos Alcaraz advanced to the men's singles final at Wimbledon, beating American Taylor Fritz. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Today, Wisconsin is mourning the loss of Milwaukee police officer Kendall Corder, who was killed while responding to a call late last month. Officer Corder's body first is being transferred from a funeral home to the Elmbrook Church in Brookfield. After funeral services, a 10-mile procession with officers across the state will accompany Officer Corder to his final resting place at Wisconsin Memorial Park Cemetery. Community members are expected to gather along Barker Road and Capitol Drive to honor his memory. Flags will remain at half-staff statewide in his honor. Administrative changes are coming to the college near the Capitol. Savannah Tomey Olson has more.
UW-Madison is planning to sunset its main DEI division, as inclusion efforts have become a target for state Republicans over the last couple years. The Division of Diversity, Equity, and Educational Achievement helps support about 5% of the student body. Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin announced that it'll move under the umbrella of the Division of Teaching and Learning and the HR Department. Mnookin says the initiatives from the DDEEA will still exist and no student scholarships will be impacted. However, she says a, quote, small number of staff members will be laid off. Diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives are a major talking point for Republicans on both the state level and the national level. President Donald Trump has threatened slashing funding to universities over DEI programs. And when pushing for an $87 million cut to the UW system weeks ago, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said there's too much political correctness on campus, although he didn't say how cuts would change that.
You may have already noticed the increase of rumbling. Tens of thousands of riders have rolled into Milwaukee for the three-day Harley-Davidson Homecoming Festival. The festival features over 60 vendors, 12 bands, and celebrations at both dealerships and on the lakefront. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A buzzer beater for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The NBA Summer League kicked off last night in Las Vegas. Teams getting a look at some of their youngest players. Milwaukee against Denver, down by two. Andre Jackson Jr. with a pass to the Bucks' Jamari Bouye, who moved to the right behind the three-point line on ESPN.
Jackson to inbound. He finds Bouye. Liddell all over him, the step over. He gets it up.
The Bucks over the Nuggets, 90-89. GM John Horst and Doc Rivers to introduce Miles Turner to the media, picked up in free agency from the Pacers. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee, the Brewers against the last-place Nationals. The crew now just 2 games behind the Cubs, who beat the Twins yesterday 8-1, avoiding the sweep in Minnesota. Pete Crow Armstrong with 2 home runs, and former Brewer pitcher Colin Ray allowing just 1 run in 7 innings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Showers and storms rolling back in this afternoon, some heavy to severe, which could pack some high damaging wind gusts, large hail, and heavy torrential downpours that could cause flash flooding. Around 0.5 inch is likely, but a couple of inches is possible. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club's Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to 27th. Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling best of show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese with the Canine Convoy based in Oconto. We're talking Dog Bus. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Once more unto the breach. Once more unto the breach, dear friends. Once more. In peace, there's nothing so becomes a person as modest stillness and humility. But when the blast of adventure blows in our ears, then imitate the tiger. Stiffen the sinews. Summon up the blood. Set the teeth and stretch the nostrils wide. Hold hard the breath and bend up every spirit to your full height. For there is none of you that hath not noble luster in your eyes. I see you stand like greyhounds in the slips, straining upon the start. The game's afoot. Follow your spirit, and upon this charge cry, it is Anything Goes Friday on the Tom Hartman Program. My name is Jefferson Smith, and it is my last day. Thank you, and apologies to the Bard. Tom will return to you on Monday. Meanwhile, what subjects should we broach? Dear friends, it is Anything Goes Friday on the Tom Hartman Program. The call number here is 202-808-9925. There is at least a subject I want to broach. We haven't really talked about tariffs. And it's not the most important topic to me, and that is my point. It relates to the price of government. I was thinking yesterday, I went to the gym yesterday. I don't go to the gym enough. I know. But I was thinking about this yesterday. And how come it is that we receive the degree of attention on tariffs that we do relative to the attention we receive on, let's say, I don't know, Medicaid? They both get attention, but it seems to me that the tariff thing, related to how many people it will impact, gets maybe outsized attention. And it made me think about why. Here's an alternative view, or just an allegory, maybe not an allegory, maybe a metaphor, maybe just a framework or a method of thinking about government. Imagine government as if it were a different kind of entity. Imagine it were a business, and it would set a price, what it costs to get its services, or a set of prices on what it costs to get its services. But probably this kind of business size, what's going to set a price. And I don't subscribe to the idea that government should run itself like a business in all its ways, because I don't think we'd want U.S. senators taking home all the profits. I don't think we want members of the U.S. House figuring out how they could extract additional resource from people in the United States so that they could get a house in the Hamptons. I don't think that's actually what we want. But nonetheless, this entity sets a price. And one thing that makes this entity special is that we get to vote the leaders out if they price it too high or if they offer too little or too much of the wrong stuff. They offer too little of the good stuff and too much of the wrong stuff. And to motivate people to vote with us, we can make an argument about that pricing and say, this is why we got to throw the bums out. Or we can make an argument about the services and say, this is why we want to throw the bums out. And this is kind of one way of understanding kind of how it works. Now, the people who want to advocate for, they don't like the pricing. And they don't like, and or they don't like the services. One way they make that case, particularly when it comes to pricing, is say, we'll leave. If you price it too high, well, it's like another business. I think, by the way, one of the wrongest things Elon Musk ever said is, oh, government's just another business. No, it ain't, bro. And not understanding the differences demonstrates why you're not qualified to make the decisions for the country. There are some similarities. There are really important differences. To motivate people to vote with us, let's imagine where somebody wants to advocate for the price of government or against the price of government, we can say, if you set it the wrong price, if you price it too high, we're going to leave. We're going to move away. And we hear that all the time. We hear all the time of saying, if you put your capital gains tax rates, it's similar. If you tax ownership, if you tax wealth to the same level you tax income, if a wealthy person has to get taxed to the same degree that a working person has to get taxed, which makes some sense, by the way, maybe they should even get taxed more. But let's say they just get taxed the same. We're going to leave. We're going to take our capital and we're going to move it to Bermuda. Where people threaten to leave. But here's the thing. Most don't. Most don't actually leave. Right now, we're hearing that argument with respect to Mamdani. Right now, he won the Democratic primary, is on his way to the general election, and there are people who are going to run as independents, maybe the incumbent mayor, maybe Andrew Cuomo, maybe both, maybe others, try to mount a campaign to beat the Democratic nominee. The Democratic nominee has lost before. Rudy Giuliani, Mayor Bloomberg, that has happened. New York votes for Democrats with the presidency, but not all the time for mayor. The voters are smart. They don't just look at party, nothing more. And they're saying, aha, like Bill Ackman, the guy who said he was going to stop giving to Harvard if they kept, I don't know, doing DEI initiatives, heaven forbid. And saying, hey, we're going to move to Florida, move to Texas, move to these other places where there are more Trump voters. But mostly they don't. Some do, but mostly they don't. And some of it is the same reason, like, again, this is where I do think a business analogy is interesting and maybe useful. That it's a little bit like increasing the price on a great product. People will grumble, but then pay. Right? So think iPhones. iPhone jacks up the price, or it's an expensive thing. Nobody thought they'd spend between $500 and $1,000 on a telephone. 20 years ago, of course, nobody thought their telephone could also be their computer. And then the monthly charges and et cetera, but it makes, you know, it's integrated with our lives. It's pretty important. It's got lock-in effects. It's hard to leave. And so we grumble about it, but we don't leave. This dynamic has some similarities. And to be clear, it's important that people with respect to government can vote. This is one of the ways this is different than a business, because it's harder to choose. It's harder. It's different than just switching your phone or even switching your cable company, right? You got to uproot your family. You got to change your job or hope that they will still employ you if you're in your if you're working from remote. You might have to learn a new language. You might have to learn a new set of cultural norms and principles. So it's important that people can vote. Tariffs. Right now, what's interesting is, after all the complaining about tariffs, and I am not here to praise Caesar nor to bury this topic, or at least bury Caesar on this topic, but the prediction from the anti-folks on tariffs was that it would boost employment and raise prices. Okay? that the analysts looked at it and said, well, if you impose those tariffs, then it will make product development move onshore, so more people get employed. That's why lots of skilled labor likes the idea, and lots of labor unions like the idea of tariffs, even though they don't want to say it really loudly out loud. They like the idea of tariffs because the idea is of onshore labor. But that will jack up prices because, you know, China, et cetera, will not be able to get as many cheap goods. You'll increase that. They've called it as a sales tax. Here's the thing. It hasn't significantly boosted employment, but it also hasn't significantly raised prices. Prices continue to raise. He did not eliminate inflation. I think it's a little bit like that. It's like a big fee to sell pizza at the baseball stadium. An expensive fee, but you still want those customers. It's a little like the price of government. We'll grumble, but then they pay. We'll talk more about that right after this break.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Anything goes Friday, what do you want to talk about? We'll be right back. 202-808-9925.
You trust your deodorant? Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all over odors before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorants for whole-body odor control. Safe for your pits, packages, and feet, Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants you're used to using just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. You can use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide on your first Mando purchase with the code TOM, T-H-O-M, at shopmando.com. Plus, shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with the code TOM at shopmando.com. Shopmando.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026 for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? As in, really looked at them? Veterans who bravely served our country deserve the benefits they've earned and life-saving support when they need it. We know that no one can do this alone, and we're stronger when we work together. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our network of partners, like your local county Veterans Service Officer, we can help connect veterans with services such as education, employment, mental health services, veteran ID, long-term care, and more. We stand ready to serve you. For more information, call 1-800-WIS-VETS or visit WISVETS.com. That's WISVETS.com. Message sponsored by Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
It might not be that surprising that I'm not all that into chasing trends. I don't own many Labubus. I don't have that big jug that people drink from on Instagram. But we do really like stuff that fits right, feels good, and actually lasts. We just ordered an all-cotton and wool sweater, and we keep going back to Quince. Their lightweight layers and high-quality staples have become everyday essentials. Here's some of the things we love about Quince. They are working directly with top artisans and cutting out the middlemen. Quince gives you luxury pieces without the markups. Plus, Quince works only with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love the products we get from Quince, and you will too. Recently purchased a cotton cashmere blend, soft and perfect weight for those cool summer evenings. Quince gives you the quality of a luxury brand, but without the luxury price. Stick to the staples that last with elevated essentials from Quince. Go to quince.com/tom for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/tom to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/tom. So, the thing I was talking, it's Anything Goes Friday, the call-in number here is 202-808-9925. We'll be getting to your calls in just a moment. To continue and wrap the thing I was saying, at least for now, on tariffs, is, one, it's, I think, a useful, it's like this confusing thing about why we're actually, we've seen some job losses within the very sectors that the pro-tariff people would have said we would have gained, but we also haven't seen significant price changes, and maybe it's related to why prices haven't come down, why that campaign promise, I mean, it was a lie when it was made, but it was it hasn't been fulfilled, why we haven't seen big price changes, including not larger price increases from tariffs. And it just made me think it's a little bit related to, if you think about the analogy of government as a set of services that has a price, and that price is not the only thing that matters. I also think if we're picking fights, I'm not saying tariffs yay or tariffs nay. I don't think it's as simple as tariffs good or tariffs bad. I think it depends. I do think there's probably room to increase some tariffs. And there's huge energy to fight them. And how come? And that includes fights from Democrats. And I think some of that is a move from urban politicians, including urban Democratic politicians, which tend to be most of the successful politicians in urban areas in the United States post, call it 1980. But it's a way to send signals to larger donors, and a way that Democrats have sort of embraced cosmopolitan politics. The book years ago, What's the Matter with Kansas, and talk about how Democrats moved away from bread and butter economic issues, moved a little bit too much towards social issues. I think it's a little nuanced. Again, I don't say just yay or just nay to that argument. But I do think there is a thrust that has moved towards cosmopolitan politics, the politics of city dwellers. And that includes city-dwelling donors. And city-dwelling donors tend to be the people not as engaged in manufacturing, and therefore more often, if you go visit a Wall Street firm, you're going to say, oh, no, we're pro-free trade. It's a nice thing to say. It worked for Bill Clinton, helped him raise a bunch of money, and using other sort of more kind of big D Democratic issues alongside, got him into the White House alongside that money. But I do think there is room to, that isn't the most important fight I would pick. That said, I'm also not here just to praise Caesar, just so you know. The reason I have not got into tariffs since I've been here is because I think it's a little nuanced. I think it's a little complicated. But I was like, you know, that is not the reason to avoid it. That might be the reason to go towards it. Let's not avoid the hard part. Let's go to the hard part. Let's try to be smarter and not just, I don't know, nattering nabobs, not just head nodders, not just ditto heads. That here is my critique, is that it's been done badly. Now, to some degree, you could give praise because I think probably the best chance to jack up tariffs, basically taxes, to jack up tariffs, probably easier to get done by a MAGA Republican than by a Democrat, right? It's a little bit Nixon to China. I've got to concede that. I think that's probably true. I think if you had President Mamdani trying to raise tariffs, you'd have a very different kind of discussion right now. But I think it's been done really badly. And here's why I think so. And by badly, I think kind of stupidly. Because it's offered neither certainty nor clarity. It hasn't offered the ability to plan, and also hasn't provided even a clear timeline, and has still been rushed. Now, if you're imagining, let's imagine a smart system. A smart system might look like, hey, since the 1930s, we have been ratcheting down tariff levels to try to sort of boost one view of economic growth, but we're realizing that has harmed domestic manufacturing to a greater degree and has mispriced the and underpriced access to the American market. The American market is a very valuable market. Paying some money to reach this market, you know, makes some sense. If I want to sell pizza at the basketball stadium, right? And one of the things I like about modern basketball stadiums is that some of them are now working with like local restaurants and businesses so they can create no longer just pop-up shops, but instead of just selling Cisco goods from the back of the truck over a counter in the basketball stadium, also baseballs, football, other sports, they'll let, you know, the local pizza pie company set up a shop. They're doing it in some airports. They do the Portland airport, other airports too. Love it. Love that stuff. It's great. If we can use public procurement to support local businesses, it's a smart move. All right. So they, in order to do that, in order to say, let's call it Sizzle Pie. Okay. So Sizzle Pie has a place at the basketball stadium. And for them to do that, they pay the basketball stadium a lot of money. But it's still worth it because they want to be able to sell to the basketball stadium. It's a very valuable market. If you wanted to plan as a business, what you'd want to do is you'd want to know, hey, blank months out, a year from now, tariff rates are going to be going up. So plan. Get ready to have your manufacturing shift, get billed for it. But we haven't had that time to plan, and there's been a... Be right back after this with your calls. Peter Galluli is the CEO of the wellness company, changing healthcare, starting with the medical emergency kit. This is not a first aid kit. It comes stocked with prescription medication to treat dozens of common and serious illnesses. No more waiting to see your doc sitting in a crowded ER or emergency care or the pharmacy. Your prescriptions are in your emergency medical kit. Peter, welcome to the program. Tell us about this.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, our emergency medical kits are really taking the country by storm. We've helped protect over a million Americans, and it pinch myself when I even say that. Meds like you just mentioned, things like amoxicillin and antibiotics, every American is going to probably get a prescription for these in the next couple of years, right? It's always something. People everywhere are fed up with going to the doctors, fed up with waiting in line for an urgent care. And we all know that the best time to address a sickness is the morning you feel that scratchy throat or the runny nose rather than trying to wait it out. You need to have medicines on hand in your medicine cabinet today to take. Purchase it online, just like you purchase anything online. There is a 2-minute medical intake questionnaire where we collect some basic data. It goes to our medical team. It's a team of 50-state licensed doctors. So a doctor in your state will review it and call you if they have any questions. If not, we will issue you a medical emergency kit, which will be dispensed through our pharmacy and shipped to your doorstep. It's 100% compliant with the FDA. All of our doctors are registered MD, DOs, or NPs. They do this every day, all day. And the medicines come from our pharmacy, which, again, is prescribing them to you with your name on it and is licensed in all 50 states as well. So it took us a long time to build out this infrastructure that allows us to do this, but a lot of Americans are taking advantage.
Peter, thanks so much for dropping by and speaking with us today.
I appreciate it.
Peter Galluli is the CEO of The Wellness Company, urgentcarekit.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and use the promo code Tom.
Pete Schwabba. Friday's show is a replay, but I'll be back live Monday with the group On Stage for Cancer performing in studio, and Madison film critic Rob Thomas talks movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Students at UW-Milwaukee and UW schools across the state will see their tuition rise by about 5% this fall. It follows a decision by the Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents yesterday. The increase means the base tuition at Milwaukee will reach just over $9,200 for the next school year. UW system leaders say the move balances quality education with affordability, and it comes after a decade-long tuition freeze. One important group in the state is happy about the way Wisconsin figured out its finances. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The Dairy Business Association, Wisconsin's leading dairy advocacy group, applauds Governor Evers and legislative leaders for their bipartisan effort to craft a budget that supports the state's dairy community. It includes additional funding and support for initiatives that align with DBA's policy priorities, ensuring dairy remains a cornerstone of Wisconsin's economy. It does this by supporting clean water initiatives with ongoing funding for county conservation grants, producer-led watershed protection grants, nitrogen optimization, pilot programs, and cover crop insurance rebates, building a lasting agriculture transportation infrastructure by continuing the Agriculture Road Improvement Program and improvements to CDL training grants. It also promotes economic support and development with additional funding for dairy processor grants, continuation of the Wisconsin Agriculture Export Programs, and the Food Security Grant Program. And it encourages dairy research and education with continued funding for the Dairy Innovation Hub.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Showers and storms rolling back in this afternoon, some heavy to severe, which could pack some high damaging wind gusts, large hail, and heavy torrential downpours that could cause flash flooding. Around a half an inch is likely, but a couple of inches is possible. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Your free ticket Friday keyword for the Tom Hartman program is Crew, C-R-E-W, Crew.
Use the Civic Media app to text in the keyword for your chance to win a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets. Full contest details on the Civic Media website.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Todd Alba.
Next time, Todd continues live from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, highlighting some great public educators and talking with filmmaker B.J. Hollers about his new documentary on the amazing game Coup. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Thank you so much for all of your support.
Did
Did you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out.
All right, so I just got a text from my wife. So she has not listened to the show, okay? And she always has like a technical challenge, some sort of time challenge. She works and listening to the show. But I got a text to her, text from her, and she said, I figured out how to listen, so say something nice about me. The next text I got from her was, tariffs are boring, bud. This is what I've received. I don't think they are. I think they're important. I think a lot of things are interesting. I think I think almost anything is interesting. But if it's not interesting, then that's probably my fault. And then she said, I'll be in the car for 5 more minutes, so better say something sweet soon. And then I said, it's a commercial, but I'll be back on air soon. And then she said, I just got water in the car wash again, and I'm soaked, bun. And then she said, I just heard you over the commercial. And then she said, bun, that's not sweet. Okay, so we're having a real-time conversation because she's just responding to what I just said. Sweetheart, I love you. Thank you so much for listening to the program today. And we will now take calls so you don't have to hear about tariffs all day. But I do think they're interesting. All right, let's go to Mark Taylor Canfield from Seattle. Name so nice, hey, they named Jefferson. Him thrice. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, I serve as executive director for the nonprofit Democracy Watch News, and thank we've you. Been focusing on two news stories that we consider threats to freedom of the press. Paramount Global's $16 million payoff to Donald Trump so they can get government approval for their billion-dollar merger, and ICE's attempts to deport journalist Mario Guevara. And you can get more information about these cases at democracywatchnews.org, or at my YouTube channel called the MTC Report. In the case of Paramount settling Trump's lawsuit against them, it continues the precedent that ABC and Meta have already set by paying off the Trump administration in order to do business. And the question is, how can we trust CBS News and 60 Minutes to openly criticize Trump now that they've acquiesced to him and proven that they lack journalistic independence? And in the case of
Since they've had a news leader who has left in protest.
Yes. Well, in the case of Mario Guevara, who was arrested by local law enforcement in the Atlanta area, all charges against him have been dropped, and yet he's still being held in jail by ICE. Originally, he was arrested for refusing to leave the area of a protest while covering it as a reporter, the same thing that I was arrested for a few years ago when I won a federal civil rights lawsuit against the Washington State Patrol. But Guevara clearly identified himself as a reporter at the time. And in my case, federal judge, district judge Brian ruled that journalists should not be arrested for trying to do their job. Guevara has been in this country legally for over 20 years. And despite the fact that all charges have been dropped, ICE is still trying to deport him to El Salvador. And we believe that this is a continuation of the Trump administration's persecution of his political adversaries, including student activists, and in this case, the press. Guevara's family already tried to pay his bail, but that has been denied while the government appeals his immigration case. And the Committee to Protect Journalists and other journalist advocacy groups like my own are demanding his immediate release. It's ridiculous that he's being held in jail at this time when no charges have been put against him. And he's been in this country legally for over 20 years. It's also a racist policy, Jefferson. This immigration policy by the Trump administration obviously has racial connotations.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for both of those stories. And yeah, we had covered the first and insufficiently the second. So thanks for bringing them both. Thanks for the work you do and good plug.
Thank you, Jefferson. I appreciate the time.
Be well. Let's go to Doug from Denver, Colorado. Your turn.
Yeah, I just wanted to get something out that I think are the midterms are our only hope. And I think that the DNC, all elected Democrats, need to take a different approach. I think everything that comes out of their mouth should be focused on winning the midterms. And so I think that they should never mention the president's name and say and blame everything that happens on the Republican Party, because blaming anything and everything on the president gives Republicans cover in the upcoming midterms.
Because you think then they can try to distance themselves? You think they can then try to distance themselves? Well, yeah, that's a Trump thing, but it's not really me.
Not just distancing. I think the whole our country, the general public, needs to be informed that the Republican Party could stop everything that the president is doing with investigations or impeachment proceedings. And so anything that people don't like, it needs to be blamed on the Republicans so that it'll affect the election in the midterms. And I just think that that's the approach that needs to be, because right now everything is being blamed on the president. And it's like, and so then the midterms, people will just vote the same. We'll just vote anyway. But, and one other thing I want to say was the only good thing that came out of the big, ugly bill to me was that there were some Republicans that were worried about their vote and how that might impact their future elections in the midterms, which means that the Republican Party is still planning on there at least being elections for the midterms, because I'm even worried about that.
And thank you, Doug, for bringing this up. So here's a couple things I'll say. One, I agree that putting everything on Trump can be a cop-out, because as I used to say, Trump is not the head of the snake, he's the rattler. Now, he has gained more power within that coalition in these last 8 years. And so it is, since the time when he began being president to when he became president again. And so he's more the head of the snake now. But it is absolutely true that he has more than just enablers, he has confederates. And that's a word I encourage. I think confederates is a good way to describe, because it has obvious dual meanings, and it is an accurate word. There is allies, and they are trying to re-Southernify, and I don't mean the modern New South that is trying to recover from its slavery past, but I mean those who are kind of disappointed that ever ended, or wish it would have ended only three quarters of the way, or two thirds of the way. And the folks who are still a little bit grumpy about the civil rights movement and trying to bring it back. That I do think Trump's Confederates have bear at least as much responsibility. And so that I agree with strongly. Second, midterms are really critical. Minor quibble, you say it's our only chance. I do not have 100% faith in free and fair elections in the midterm elections. I do think we've got to vote broadly and aggressively and work to protect polling places and work to protect the scrubbing and elimination and gutting and manipulation of voting rolls. I do think that we need to watch vote counting. I think we have to be really, really vigorous and really, really diligent. At the same time, I'm not quitting, even if there aren't free and fair elections. That doesn't mean that to me it becomes less important. To me, then the fight to save democracy or to build democracy becomes more important. So that's my minor quibble. I don't actually think you probably disagree with that, but I at least wanted to say that. But let me go to Jessica from Chicago, Illinois. By the way, update from my wife. She says, bun with 3 exclamation points and a mean red face. And then she says, all caps, everyone knows I call you bun now, all caps. Then I said, love ya. And then she says, wow, I'm calling in. But just to say hi to George, that's my dog. There's a picture of him on Blue Sky. I'm Jefferson Smith. And then I sent her the call-in number, which, by the way, is 202-808-9925. So that is the update. Normally, we'll keep it a little less personal, but this is Anything Goes Friday, so that's what's going today. Jessica, you're on the air.
Hi, Jefferson. Great job. I wanted to talk about, you had a caller yesterday, Malta, and he said we need to step up our protests. Yeah. I think 100% right. We used to put a little more effort in our protests, and we need to make this regime uncomfortable and nervous, which includes the Supremacist Court, the mega senators, the mega congressmen. We need to protest in front of their homes and state offices. I remember during Trump's massive COVID deaths, one of my favorite protests was at the Capitol. The protesters covered the steps in body bags, sky high. And I think they drove up in hearse. Our civil rights and our Vietnam protests were strong. We have to be strong. We have a fascist regime that's making our country a prison state by Stephen Miller. He's invested in all the detainment centers and jails. What a conflict of interest being in Trump's administration. And I remember when we protested in front of the Supreme Court, Justices Holmes and the Senators Holmes, and one crazy protest was actually the MAGA gang attacked Mitch McConnell's house in Kentucky. They trashed his front yard. They spray painted his house. They left a bloody pig head in his front yard. And that was what MAGA did because they were mad at him for talking against Trump. And they are nasty, and they take it to a whole different level. But one of my favorite, most recent protests that we had was a couple months ago in the New York Trump Tower. Most of the COVID deaths, most of the crowd there was over 60 that were protesting the bombing in Gaza. They had a sit-in, and they refused to leave. Officers had to carry them out.
Thank you, Jessica.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Jessica wanted to make sure you had a chance to talk all the way to the very edge of the break. We'll be right back.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640-6298.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hands a big win to the environment. The court ruled it's unconstitutional for a legislative committee to block rules created by state agencies. The decision means good environmental rules now face an easier path to getting to the finish line and becoming law. For years, legislative vetoes by a handful of legislators stymied a long list of environmental protections. After more than 30 years, the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program is going unfunded. Money for the legacy program was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Committee on Finance. The program helps preserve our state's wildlife areas and fisheries through land purchases and grants. Now that the budget has been signed, it's unclear how the vital program will continue, although there is talk of a standalone bill that would revive it. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Our daily song is now available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, Tidal, Deezer, iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other platforms. Just look for songs by Louise and Tom Hartman. Check it out.
If you're still tossing and turning all night and feeling edgy during the day, let's tell you about CBD from CB Distillery. Millions are turning to their CBD for relief because it works. In fact, over 90% of customers report better sleep with CBD. And it's not just sleep. CB Distillery offers targeted formulations for just about everything. Sweet sleep, stress, mood, and focus, pain after exercise. They even have CBD for pets, and it's all made with the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fillers, just premium CBD. Tom's favorites are the sleep gummies. They really work when you need a good night's sleep. And with over 2 million satisfied customers and a 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery really is the source to trust. If you're struggling with sleep, stress, or other health concerns and haven't found relief, make the change like millions are to CBD from CB Distillery. And for limited time, you can save 25% off your entire purchase. Visit CB Distillery and use promo code Tom. That's cbdistillery.com, promo code Tom. cbdistillery.com. Specific product availability depends on individual state regulations. We're back. My wife texted me, as I just said, you are ridiculous. And then she texted me, talk about Jeff Merkley running for re-election and how great he is. He just announced yesterday, Jeff Merkley is running for re-election. That is very good news. For the vast bulk of people who listen to this program, that is very good news. It is not only good because he's a legitimate progressive in the United States Senate, which can be a relatively harder thing to come by when U.S. Senate campaigns cost in the tens of millions of dollars in the modern world, but also because he's one of the best human beings in America. I'm going to tell my Jeff Merkley story. Here's my Jeff Merkley story. So Jeff Merkley, I took over from Jeff Merkley in the state legislature. And at the end of my block was a, and so we didn't live in the same neighborhood, but, you know, I knew him a little bit. And we were actually roommates of the 2004 Democratic nominating convention. And but that's not why. None of these, like, don't use that to criticize him. It happens to be why I'm a witness to what I'm about to say, why I know he's a better person than I am, to be clear. And it's not close. So there was a widow at the end of our block. Okay, in our old neighborhood, my old legislative district, there's a widow at the end of our block. And her family had been, she and her husband had been active in local politics, and then he had passed away. And I was too often remiss, and they had helped me on my campaign, and therefore we were friendly. And I was too often remiss at, like, saying hello to her, helping her, doing anything very useful, being a good neighbor. And one day, Katie made, I don't know, it was cookies or a cake or some darn thing for me to take over to the widow at the end of our block. And it was Thanksgiving. I remember it was Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Several years ago. And I went and I knocked on the door and I brought over this, like, cake or cookies or whatever the heck it was. And she answered the door. And she was on the phone. And she put her finger up, like, wait a second. And I said, that's cool. And she said, it's Jeff Merkley. And I'm like, wow, isn't that cool? the Jeff Merkley is calling the widow at the end of my block. What a neat guy. And then it turns out that he was outside and he was calling to ask if it was okay for him to come in and say hello and visit her. And she said, Jeff, would that be okay? Would you both come in and maybe we could have some of this cake together? I said, of course, let's do it. And so we go in and sit down in her living room. It was a humble neighborhood, to be clear, but sat down in her living room and Senator Merkley comes in and he talks about how he had just flown in from Washington and that he had spent the day building something for his wife. They wanted to keep their kids in school in Oregon, and so they didn't disrupt their lives. And so he was flying back a lot, and he came back for in the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. He spent the day building, I don't know, fixing some roof, building some terrace. I don't know what it was for their deck. I don't know what the heck it was. I don't remember. But, like, building this deck thing. And I realized that, yeah, when she was on the phone, that he was, you know, asking for permission to come over. And I realized then, it became very clear to me how much of a better person he was than I am. Because first of all, she wasn't the widow at the end of his block. She was the widow at the end of my block. And he was seeing her with essentially the same frequency that I was. And spending the day building a deck for his family while he lives in Washington, D.C., and he had the respect and decency to call first. And I just showed up blind, knocking on the door. Jeff Merkley is genuinely fine human being, and he applies that fineness to his policymaking, and he has no bones about it, and he shows deep political courage. And I was genuinely concerned when I thought he might not run for re-election. And this casts no aspersions on people who might have been interested in running for his seat had he stepped down. But he is, I think he's the finest member of the United States Senate. That's what I think. And it's not just because he went and visited the widow at the end of my block. But I figured I'd share the story. Let's go to Ron from Pueblo, Colorado. You're on the air, Ron.
Hey, Justin, nice to talk to you. Hey, real quick, I know everybody's been talking about Epstein all week and the whole list thing. And I understand they're trying to hide, you know, Trump from all that. But I think there's a backstory there also, which is the rest of the names on that list, who are they? Are they lobbyists? Are they wealthy people? Are they DC influencers? Because this comes back down to the very thing, which is I think it's the hand that feeds Washington. Mm. And that's why the list is being hit, because it all goes back to Citizens United. If we can use this as a rallying cry in the midterms that we need to get rid of Citizens United because of Epstein and this list, we got to tie the two together. You got to say, look, if you're for corporate influence and politics, then you're a pedophile. I mean, just do it. I mean, I really think that people should be saying that to the Washington insiders. You need to tie the two together. And we may even be able to bring MAGA over to our camp because MAGA's upset about it. And I don't think they're upset about it per se as what they think it is. You know, if there's a deep state, the deep state is Citizens United.
The deep state is protecting wealth and power in this country. The deep state is not protecting poor people. The deep state is protecting wealth and power, if that's the thing they're concerned about. Some of the good things
you're
about...
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
I'm not into chasing trends, but I am all about stuff that fits right, feels good, and actually lasts. I've been shopping at Quince for some time now. In fact, my favorite sweater is an all-cotton and cashmere sweater that just is so comfortable. And it looks great. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. Their lightweight layers and high-quality staples have become my everyday essentials. That's what I love about Quince. They're working directly with top artisans and cutting out the middlemen. Quince gives you luxury pieces without the markups. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. So stick to the staples that last with elevated essentials from Quince. Go to quince.com/Tom for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News brief. President Trump is set to view flood damage in Central Texas.
It's a horrible thing. A horrible thing. Nobody can even believe it.
He'll meet with local officials and first responders. Outside L.A., protesters clashed with ICE agents at a farm. CBS News Los Angeles reporter Lauren Posen.
Several people did get hurt. Ventura County Fire says four people were taken to the hospital. Three others were treated and released.
A federal appeals court has tossed out an agreement that would have allowed accused 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to plead guilty in a deal that would have spared him the risk of the death penalty. An Israeli airstrike today killed at least 15 Palestinians, including 9 children waiting for food and other health aid at a clinic in Gaza. Chessa Latifi of Project Hope tells the BBC.
The community had already started lining up outside the clinic doors when there was an airstrike, and what ensued was a bloodbath.
Stocks are lower on Wall Street. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
WAUK News.